mom-isms, if you will. One time, or probably at some time or another, our moms have said these to us as well. Number one, why? Because I said so, that's why. Number two, I'm going to give you until the count of three. How many times we heard that? Another one, it's all fun and games until someone gets hurt. That's so true. And number four, I don't know is not an answer. I've heard that one before in my life. Number five, I would have never talked to my mother that way. That's a good one. Number six, I'm not running a taxi service. That's true. Number seven, if everyone jumped off a cliff, would you do it too? Yep, heard that one. Number eight, someday your face will freeze like that. That's true. Number nine, it hurts me more than it hurts you. How many times have you heard that one? And then number 10, something that we have been guilty in our house is calling our kids by the wrong name. Bob, Sue, Joe, Fido, whatever your name is. That happens sometimes when you're in the heat of the battle and you forget. But those are some fun things that we can laugh about and honor our moms in a funny way. And with today being Mother's Day, I thought it would be good to look at the life of Mary just for a little bit. So you can turn with me over to the book of John, chapter 19. And we're going to look at verses 25 through 27. So John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. You know, as I said earlier, I know Mother's Day can be kind of a difficult day for some. And I sure don't want to be insensitive to anyone today. And as I said earlier, whether your mom is alive today or she's passed on like mine, we all have mothers. And the principles that I'm going to share this morning can help us in everyday life, whether you're a mom or a dad or a grandparent, as a friend, as a coworker, as a classmate. These things can help us in everyday life. Some things that we kind of learn from the life of Mary. So let's take a look at this familiar passage today, John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. This gives us a glimpse into the heart of Mary and also into the heart of Jesus. You know, there's a lot of things about Jesus that I often wish we knew. Some things about him growing up, his life as a boy, growing up in his parents' home, some things like that. And for whatever reason, God didn't feel like it was important for those to be included in Scripture. And maybe one day when we get to heaven, we can ask Jesus about these things, or maybe when we get there, we won't care. Who knows? But this few verses here gives us a little bit of a glimpse, not only into the heart of Mary, but into the heart of Jesus. So let's take a look at it, and then we'll break it down and see what God has to say. John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. This is Jesus when he is being crucified, and it starts there, verse 25, standing by the cross of Jesus, where his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing there, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. One of the first things that I notice when I read this scripture, number one, if you want to take a few notes this morning, we see Mary standing by her son. She stood by her son. Obviously, this is a very dark time for Jesus. He's been beaten severely before this point. He's been nailed to the cross. He's got a crown of thorns upon his head. He's dying. He's dying on this cross. And the weight of humanity's sin is upon him in this moment. And at this time, most of his friends have abandoned him. We know that later they'll come back and Jesus forgives them. But many of his friends had abandoned him in this moment. But as I read this scripture, I see here stands Mary at the foot of her son. In his darkest hour, his mother is with him there, as well as a few others. And as I thought about this passage and I thought about Mary standing by her son, you know, we as parents, as friends, as family members, we need to always stick by those that we love. In a parental situation, we need to stick by our kids no matter where they may be in life. And one of the things that I always knew in life, whether we were going through difficult times or not, is that my mother loved me. She always made that clear. She always made that apparent, and she lived it out. I never doubted that. Even when I was a complete knucklehead, and believe it or not, I could be a knucklehead sometimes. I know that, you may think, well, I'm a pretty good guy, but I got into trouble, and I was disobedient. And even when I was a complete knucklehead, my mother loved me, and she put up with me. She came to all my games. She came to my concerts. She always offered her unfailing support of me, no matter what I was doing, no matter how crazy she thought it was. And her example taught me about how I should love other people, how I should support my family, how I should love other people in general. And that's what I learned from my mom as she stood by me in life. My mother often said that her most fulfilling thing in life, and she told me this on more than one occasion, and I told her that it wasn't her only thing that she did important in her life, but she said her most important or her most fulfilling thing in life was to give birth to me and to dedicate me to the Lord and allow Him to call me to be a pastor in Missouri, taking Leslie and I and her grandkids away from her. And you might say, how is that fulfilling? How can that be something that you find joy in? She never said it was easy. She never said that she didn't miss us, but she knew that it was God's calling on my life, and more importantly, God's calling on her life. And because it was God's calling, she didn't argue with God. She accepted the things that God gave her in her life. She accepted His will. And as I think about Mary here in this moment, in this difficult moment, standing by her son, Mary stood by Jesus when others had abandoned Him. She stood by Him when He was in His most difficult and terrible situation. And, you know, I'm sure, it doesn't really say, but you just have to believe that her presence there brought Jesus at least a little bit of comfort in the midst of a terrible situation. I know that when I'm down, I know that when I'm going through difficult things, the most important people to me in that moment is my family. And just the fact of being around them brings me comfort, brings me peace. And I'm sure that in that moment that it brought Jesus a little bit of comfort in the midst of terrible pain. Mary witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus. She stood there at the foot of the cross. And I can't imagine literally watching my child suffer the way that Jesus did. I can't imagine seeing my child brutally killed right before my very eyes. But there stood Mary. She stood by her son. She knew his purpose, and she stood by him even if it hurt her deeply, which it did. And so that's one thing that I want to bring out. One thing that jumps out at me from this scripture is that Mary stood by her son. But the second thing that I want to bring out is about Jesus. Jesus remembered his mother. Before Jesus died, he turns to John, his disciple, his beloved disciple. John says, the disciple whom Jesus loved, he turns to John and he says, take care of her. He looks at his mother and he says, let him stand in my place as your son. You know, the Bible or history tells us that John lived a very long life. And I'm sure that he took really good care of Mary until she died and went home to heaven. Joseph, there's no mention of him here. We have to assume that he's probably already passed away at this point. Mary needed someone to take care of her. That's what families did back then. There wasn't a welfare system. There wasn't any way for her to get a job. So she needed someone to care for her needs until she passed away. And here's John, here's Jesus, in this terrible moment of him suffering and dying, he made provision for his mother. John lived a very long life, and I'm sure that he took really good care of Mary until she died and went to heaven. And even as Jesus was dying, while bearing the sin of humanity, he selflessly cared for his mother. that shows us his heart, that shows us that he loved his mother dearly. And I think this is a beautiful picture of Jesus, who in the hour of his greatest pain took time to care for his mother. It's obvious that Jesus cared for his mother very much. It's obvious that Jesus loved his mother very much. He loved her because she had always been a model of love to him. And she stood by him in difficult times. And he shows us how important it is to love and take care of our mothers and for other people in general. And as I was thinking about ways that we can love our moms, ways that we can love and support our moms and really love other people, here's some few things that you can just jot down, some things that came to my mind. The number one way that you can love your mother is to love her prayerfully. You know, this is perhaps the most important way to love your mom, to love other people, is to pray for them. Let me ask you a question. Do you pray for your mom on a regular basis? I can pretty much guarantee that she's praying for you. I can pretty much guarantee that she goes before the throne of God every day and prays for you, prays for your safety, prays for your well-being, pray that God would protect you in difficult situations. And so the question is do you pray for your mom? She needs prayer just like anybody else. Love her prayerfully. Another thing that we can do is to love her verbally. Have you ever heard someone say, listen, I don't have to say I love you because they already know it. And yeah, it's a great to show love, and love is a verb. And one of the greatest ways that we show that we love people is by demonstrating it. But you know, our moms need to hear it as well. They need to hear those words. So take some time to tell your mom or your spouse or your children or others, take some time to tell them that you love them. And it's important that we do that. Tell, and they need to hear it from you. Let them hear those words, I love you. Another way that we can love our moms is to love her gracefully. You know, here's the thing, guys, and let's be honest. You aren't perfect and neither is your mom. Your mom, your parents are going to make mistakes, okay? We are all sinners in need of God's grace and in need of God's forgiveness. So let me just say, give your mom a break. Give her the benefit of the doubt. Don't we like people to do that for us? When we go through a difficult situation, don't we like people to give us the benefit of the doubt? I'm sure your mother has been gracious towards you on several occasions. You can probably think right now, some things are popping into your head right now of some ways that your mom has showed you grace in a difficult situation. And so give your mom a break. Love her gracefully. Another thing is to love her physically. When was the last time you went up to your mom and just gave her a big old hug without asking? I know sometimes, or that might be difficult right now as we're trying to stay away from each other. But you know, your mom, think about this. Your mother was the very first person who ever touched you. The very first person that ever held you. She took care of you in her womb for 9 months. And when you were born, her first priority was to hold you and to love on you. She kissed you. She stroked your head. She held you close. She changed your diapers. She fed you. She cleaned you up when you were sick. She constantly touched you. And so take time to love your mom and others physically. Give her a big old hug. Another thing is to love her generously. Think for a minute all the sacrifices that your mom has made for you over the years. She often did these things without doing without things that she needed in her own life. She did without so that you could have things that you needed. And it was a blessing for her to be able to do that. You know, me as a parent, I understand I love to make sacrifices for my children. It brings me joy to be able to do that, that God has put Leslie and I in a position that where we can do that. And I don't mind it. I find joy in doing it. And your mom found joy in doing that. But sometimes you have to realize that she did without so that you could have things in your life that you needed. And I bet you can think of something right now that your mom sacrificed for you so that you could be taken care of. So I want to ask you to be generous to your mom. Be generous to other people. Let your mom's example be an example on how to love others. Remember what Paul said about Timothy's upbringing? Remember that? If you were to go over to 1 Timothy, you could read about that. Timothy's sincere faith was not developed without help. Paul mentions his mother and his grandmother, how they played an important role in helping Timothy get to the point he was in his life. And so it was enough of a role that Paul mentions it in this letter that he wrote to Timothy. Now, these are women that he's talking about. You don't write a letter about women and lift them up. That's not something that was done in society. But Paul felt it was so important that the heritage of faith that they left him was so important that he felt like he needed to mention in this letter that he wrote to Timothy. Because Timothy had a heritage of sincere faith within him, which according to Paul dwelt in his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice first. So these ladies played an important role in his life of helping him. And so love your mother generously. Let the generosity that she's shown you, the love that she's shown you, be an example to you in how to love other people. And then finally, love her honorably. The Bible says in Exodus 20:12, one of the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. I want you to notice something there. What does the word honor mean? What does that mean? It means to hold something in high respect or with great esteem. That's what it means to honor. To hold something in high respect or great esteem. So we are to respect and esteem, hold with esteem our mothers. And you might say, well, Pastor, you don't know my mom. My mother wasn't a very honorable person. I get that. I understand that not every family's perfect. I know that I'm not so naive to understand that every family is the same, because it's not. And I know some of the memories that some people have of their mothers are not very good memories. I get that. But I want to point out something to you. The Bible doesn't ever say anything about the qualification of being honored. It only says to honor her. And so even if in your life, the only thing that you can say about your mom is that she gave birth to me, that's still a way to honor her. That is still a way to honor her. If it wasn't for her, listen, you wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't have your life. You wouldn't have your family. You wouldn't have the things that you hold dear and near to you if it weren't for your mother. And if the only thing you can say, well, I can be thankful for her because she gave birth to me, that's still a way to honor her. And so at least you can thank God for your mom in that way. Love your mother honorably. Abraham Lincoln once said this. He said, no man is poor who has a godly mother. Man, that's so true. We can never underestimate the powerful role that we as grandparents and parents play in our children's lives spiritually. Again, look at the life of Timothy. Look at Lois and Eunice. They played a vital role in his life. And so we as parents and grandparents play a valuable role in our children's lives spiritually. And it's important that we live a faith that is sincere so that we can be a godly example to them. And that is perhaps the greatest single thing that will encourage them in their faith and to be sincere in their faith. Because here's the thing, guys. Faith is not inherited. Faith is passed on from one generation to another through the godly influence of parents. And so let's leave that legacy for our children and our grandchildren. And listen, it's never too late to begin to be a godly parent to your children. Maybe you're saying, well, Pastor, I've really blown it in my life. I was not a good parent. I didn't do the things that I should be doing. You know what? It's never too late to start. Even if your children are all grown up and have families of their own, it's never too late to start. And so we as parents have to do these things. We have to be this example, even if we start today for the very first time. We as parents must pray for our children, pray for our grandchildren. And as difficult as things are today, guys, think about what life is going to be like in the future. That's why it's so vital that we pray for our children, our families, other people on a regular basis, because we want them to be godly men and women in the midst of a very broken generation. And not only that, we have to be a godly example to them. The final thing I want to say is that mothers have a unique role in their children's lives. And so embrace that and be a powerful influence in the lives of your children and in the lives of your grandchildren. Father, we thank you today for the encouragement that we receive from your word. Father, in these few verses here in the book of John, we learn about the life of Mary and how she loved Jesus and she stood by him in a difficult time. And Father, we can learn much from that, and I pray that we would. We also see into the heart of Jesus, and in a very intimate moment, he takes time to make provision for his mother because he loves her so dearly. And he wants to make sure that when he's gone, that she will be well taken care of. Father, that also is an example to us and how we are to love other people. So, Father, let us take it for these things today. Let these words sink into our hearts and change us from the inside out so that we can know how we should love other people in this way. Father, we thank you for our families. We thank you for our moms. No matter if they're alive or not today, we thank you for these precious women that we can honor today. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. And we pray together, amen. Well, Andrew's going to lead us in a song of commitment this morning. And I would ask you, if the Lord is speaking to your heart about a decision that you need to make, that you would take time to do that this morning. You could do it right there where you are, in your living room or wherever you are. You can take time to let God do business in your heart. And if you need to reach out to me this week, you can do that. We can meet together virtually, or I can call you on the phone and we can talk. But if God is doing business in your heart today, I pray that you would let him do it, that you would respond to him in faith, and that you would make that commitment to him. As Andrew leads us in this song of commitment today, you make your decision for Jesus Christ.